Hey Pixel.
Hey Paige.
How's it going?
I'm okay. How are you?
Oh, okay, cool. I'm good. So we went to the Pokemon Museum recently.
Hell yeah.
Or well, the Pokemon exhibit at the Field Museum in Chicago.
Love it.
It was super fun. But the story I want to talk about doesn't happen in the Pokemon exhibit part. It actually happens in their, like, you know, the story of, like, how we evolved from, you know, whatever. Like, they have a whole exhibit about that. And
the godless lies. I'm sorry. That was a joke. And that was also trauma.
Walked in there with Sunshine. And Sunshine's just, he's just, you know, he sees all the big lights and things, like, not paying attention. And I looked at him and I said, "Now, Sunshine, some of your cousins are going to tell you that the world is only 6,000 years old.
Here we go.
Your cousins are wrong."
Here we go. Here we go.
And he didn't hear anything.
Right. Okay.
He's like, "Whatever, Mom, where's the dinosaurs?"
Exactly.
But, we just had a really good time there. They had a bunch of gluten-free, like, desserts. None of the cafe stuff was gluten-free, but they had a whole rack of, like, gluten-free cake and cookies and cake pops.
Ooh.
And all this stuff. And I was like, I would want one of everything, except, so we literally got, Sunshine got dinosaur chicken nuggets and french fries. And then I got a burger with no bun and fries. And then Grumpy got a burger and fries and drinks. And, like, this is, like, cafeteria.
Yeah, I'm stuff. Sure it costs, like, $70 or something.
$91.
That's so dumb.
I was like, next time we come, we are bringing lunch. That's ridiculous. Maybe we could get a little treat.
Yeah.
But I'm not buying lunch ever again. That was insane. I was like, I know Chicago's expensive or more expensive, but, like,
that's also, like, we know that you're trapped in here.
Right.
You're not going to leave and get food and come back. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Just stupid. But I get it. Whatever.
Capitalism.
Yeah.
So
we
gotta
keep those stolen artifacts together somehow.
Oh.
I actually don't. Because I was trying to Google, like, if the Field Museum is ethical and, like, how ethical it is. Because they've got a lot of, like, stuff that we didn't get to. Like, they have a whole section on, like, the Native American people who live in the area, and they had, I'm trying to remember, I feel like, I can't remember, they had a couple exhibits that I was like, oh, those sound really good, those sound like I would go back, like, and read them, but I couldn't really find much of anything. So if you know if the Field Museum is, like, really ethical or really unethical, let me know.
And I feel like, depending on how old the artifact is, like, that's on a spectrum.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
because I did read that for a while, they had to cover up a bunch of artifacts because you have to have express permission from the tribe to display certain things. So I know they had to cover those up because they did not have permission.
I mean, they could just give them back at that point.
Yeah. So I don't know if they went and got permission and were able to take the covers off, or if they had to give them back. I don't know. The whole article was behind a paywall, so.
Mm.
Oh, well. Anyway, game episode.
Game episode. So, Paige.
Yes?
You strike me as someone who has enjoyed a choose-your-own-adventure book or two, am I right?
Hell yeah. We have a choose-your-own-adventure board game. Board card game.
Hell yeah. Well, today, we have a game that is essentially a choose-your-own-adventure movie.
Ooh.
And the name of that game slash movie slash protagonist is Erica.
Erica.
Is she a hero? Is she a villain? Is she the unluckiest girl in the world, or is she just fucking crazy?
Probably a little bit of everything.
Well, there's only one way to find out, so let's rock this bitch, I guess.
Rocket. Oh, I didn't do my catchphrase. I was just thinking about that episode.
I know.
Oh well.
Let's get lit retroactively.
I definitely got. I got lit.
Ha!
I had one lemonade and vodka,
and that's all it takes, folks. Erica is a 2019 live-action interactive film developed by Flavorworks and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment. Yes, you heard me right. Live action. Meaning you make choices, and then whatever scene that's unlocked by that choice plays on the screen. But it's all active, like it's real people, real sets, live.
Real people?
Yes, it's like a movie, and then you just kind of pick what happens next. And whatever scene you pick plays next, but it's filmed just fucking, interesting. It's not animated.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. There are a handful. This is not the only game like this, but there are not very many games.
That's pretty cool.
And that's what drew me in, because it's like, shit, that is cool. This is fucking cool.
Nice.
Because of the simple style of gameplay, once again, we're going to be melding plot overview and gameplay sections.
That makes
into,
sense.
Into like, this one hybrid thing. Someday I will once again play a game that is complicated enough to warrant those being distinct sections, but it is not this day.
Life can get busy, and sometimes complicated games take up a lot of time.
They do. So, like, in the background, I have friends at home, and I don't remember who recommended this game to me. I have fully given up on Disco Elysium. I was hating it.
I don't know what that is.
It's a long-ass Estonian thing, and it's all fucking dialogue, and like I've heard that it eventually gets amazing, but I don't have time for things to take like double digits of hours to get interesting.
Excuse me?
That's what I'm saying. That's why, like, I'm sorry if you love this game. I'm sorry. Other people have talked about it. It's not gonna be me. I have a child. I have several jobs. I need to enjoy. This podcast needs to be fun for me.
Right. That's how I felt writing that one episode, the We Dance Among Demons. I hated writing that episode because I was like, I didn't like this book, so it's not fun. However, I do have a book coming up where I did not like the book, but in a way that I'm really excited to rant about.
See,
it.
That can be worth it. That isn't Disco Elysium, too much fucking time and effort, not enough. And maybe the payoff will be great, but I'm sorry. I'm pulling the plug. But
I need to apologize.
Yeah, there is another game that I'm
The person
playing.
Who recommended it to you should apologize to you for wasting your time.
I'm sorry.
Come forward.
Yeah.
Apologize.
Show yourself.
Right now.
Bitch. But this other game that I'm playing in the background is a big open world game. Ooh. I'm having a great time with it.
We've had
some shorter games. Well, I take my time and like really, because open world games,
you want to explore all of it.
Yeah, I'm not quite a completionist, but like, I'm pretty goddamn close. I really want to see.
I want to see all this game has to offer.
Especially if it's fun and I'm having a good time.
Exactly.
And I'm having a good time. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So this game, it's like movie length. So it wasn't very long to play.
Okay, yeah.
But, so here, I'm going to have a fun time with this one for similar reasons probably that you're going to have a fun time with the one that you didn't like. Because like, right off the bat.
Oh boy.
This game was not super promising because, okay, I loaded the game.
Uh-oh. Is it a video game?
It's on PlayStation.
It's marketed as a video game and not a movie.
Yes, it is a video game.
You're not using your remote. You're using controllers.
Here's the fucking thing. You're touching on my first problem with this. So I load the game, and there's this message that pops up on the screen that said, this game was designed to be played with your smartphone as your controller.
Oh, man.
You're supposed to use your phone's touch screen to, like, move a cursor around the screen and select dialogue options and interact with objects, etc. So it said, go to your app store, download this app, pair it, you'll be good to go. So I went to the app store, and the app I needed to be able to optimally play the game does not exist anymore.
Oh, my God.
Which... The game is 7 years old, so I don't know. Not a great sign.
No.
That's not that long ago.
No.
So I had to use my PlayStation controller instead.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a PlayStation controller? Like a PlayStation 5 controller?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe.
They have a little touchpad in the top, in the middle. Like a little rectangle. Like
oh my
like
gosh.
This big.
And that's
this fucking
what you
big.
Had to play on?
Yes!
Oh my God.
It doesn't work nearly as well as the touchscreen of a smartphone. So that was just a huge point of frustration. It was harder to control the cursor. And there were a few moments where, like, I failed a QuickTime event because my cursor was like jumping around on the screen instead of doing what I was fucking telling it to do and what it would have done if I could still use my fucking smartphone.
PlayStation, fix your touch screens. What the hell?
Well, the thing is, the touchscreen is used in most games. It's used very minimally. Like, it works well enough for what you need in almost every video game. It's just not meant to be the entire controls of a game.
Okay, that makes sense.
Like, so for example, in The Last of Us 2, you use the touchscreen to like strum guitar strings, and you just kind of glide it across. It's perfect for like little shit like that, and it also clicks in, so you can use it as a button to open up different menus. It was not meant to be the entirety of what on a tiny little like 2-inch screen. So, word for the wise for game developers, because I know you're fucking listening. If you're going to make your games require additional technology on top of the game console and the game controller, make sure the other technology also stays up to date. Like, if you're going to continue to have your game available to download, keep the app current. How hard can it fucking be to keep this app going? I don't know. I don't have a fucking app. It seems like it shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
Better yet, don't fucking do that.
Right. Don't. That's not very forward thinking.
It's
require extra technology that who knows?
It's hella annoying. I don't want to play a game on a PlayStation without using the PlayStation controller.
Right.
Like even the Jackbox games, which are fun. And I like them. Like, I get there are some fun things you can do with connecting smartphones to PlayStations, but I don't know. It chews up your phone battery. It's just another fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's one more goddamn thing, right? And I don't have the time or energy for any more goddamn things. Do you understand?
I do. Paige? I'm there with you.
But there is no reason this game needed to use a touchpad as opposed to, like, regular joystick and buttons. Added nothing. Because you're just. Most of what you're doing is choosing dialogue options. So instead of just, like, using the D-pad to hit down and click an X when you highlight, like, every other fucking game with dialogue options, you had to, like, wave the fucking cursor around until it landed on the list item you wanted. Then you had to hold it there long enough for it to register like a fucking drunk taking a field sobriety test. It's clunky and it's stupid. I know I'm going on and on about this right at the top, but I cannot overemphasize how much I hated the mechanics right off the bat and how it made me much more judgmental and picky about everything else about the story.
Because if you're already in a bad mood having to play this game, any other thing that comes up, you are not going to gloss over.
No, this is already ass. From like load screen, this is ass.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
So, and then, the game has the audacity. To pressure you from the beginning to, like, replay it. The first text on the screen is, no single path holds all the answers. Meaning to say that everything this game has to offer, if you want to see it, you have to play it multiple times. Fuck you. First of all, fuck you. I know how Choose Your Own Adventures work. I'm not brand fucking new here. Second of all.
Some people are dumb, so maybe that's why they had to put that in there.
Second of all. How about you make a game good enough that I want to play it again?
Right. Huh?
Did you think about that? No, you fucking didn't. You made a game with literally the worst, most unnecessary controls of all time, and then you pressure me to play it again before I played it the first time? How dare you?
So, like, the wake up my kid.
Did I just wake your child?
No.
Shit. So the game hasn't even started yet, and I already hate the game.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
But you know what I did? I played the whole game for you ungrateful bitches.
Wow.
But
you're
only,
so strong.
I only played it once because I have the tiniest morsel of love and respect for myself. Then I was like, one time through and I've seen enough.
Not playing this game again is self-care.
It absolutely. So, you are Erica, a young girl who lives alone with her father.
So she doesn't live alone. She lives with her father.
I'm going to fucking kill you. Do you remember how a few episodes ago you were like, sometimes I'm a know-it-all when people hate me for it? Do you remember that? I remember that. It's coming to mind right now. I don't know why.
I can't stop myself. I don't know what's wrong with me?
Erica lives not alone, very much with her father. And the game opens with him telling Erica how a priestess told her mother years before she and Erica's father had even met. This priestess told her mother, "You will have a child with a butterfly birthmark, and whenever that child gazes into fire, she'll be able to see the future." I know. Lo and behold, Erica has a butterfly birthmark. Couldn't have seen that coming.
Oh my god.
And whenever
what
she,
a twist.
Whenever she gazes into the fireplace, she has visions of the future.
Like That's So Raven?
Does Raven have to look into fire?
No, but no. She does have visions.
Yeah, it's just like that mostly, except for the fire thing. That's So Raven. In fact, after her father tells her all of this, she gazes into the fireplace and sees a vision of her father lying dead with a giant asterisk carved into his chest. In this vision, she turns and sees a person standing in the doorway holding a bloody knife and pointing a gun at her. She then wakes up screaming.
Oh.
She's older now. She actually lives alone.
Oh, okay.
In a rundown apartment. So was this a dream? Was it a memory? Was it something in between?
Who knows? Mystery.
So Erica's like looking at herself in the mirror, contemplating. When she hears a commotion from out in the hallway outside her apartment door.
Uh-huh.
She looks through the peephole and sees a woman, her neighbor from across the hall, hunched over in the hallway. Okay. So here you have a series of choices. You can open the door or stay safe inside. You can offer to help her or you can yell at her for making noise. So I chose to open the door and offer her help.
You are a much better person than I am.
Well, it's a fucking game. I already don't care what happens to Erica.
When I play these types of games, I feel compelled to choose the option that I would choose in real life.
I do also think that is what I would do in real life because I have a very low, like, I just don't feel like I'm in danger nearly as much as I should.
I always feel like I'm in danger.
Like, Game Boy insists that, like, I'm going to die before him because I'm going to do something stupid and helpful and it's going to get me killed because I'm like, I'll probably be fine. Anyway, so I chose to like open the door and be like, hey, you okay out there? I am 100% sure that this choice is not actually a choice. Let me explain what I mean. Many choice-based games are more about the illusion of choice than any choices that actually substantively change the game.
Right, like at the end, things are probably going to still work out the way that...
Right, so like, I offer to help this woman. She looks at me, shakes her head, and goes into her apartment, which is basically what happens no matter what choice I actually make. She winds up going back in her apartment. Nothing actually happens, no matter what.
That's dumb.
Because games with branching paths are really hard to make.
Yeah.
You have to write and film way more than your typical game that's only telling one linear story. So what game developers do is they pad the game with quote-unquote options that all have the same result to make the game player feel like they're doing something when really all you're doing is clicking random buttons to advance a pre-made cutscene like a toddler playing baby's first video.
But what if, like, because you don't know, you've not played the game more than once, what if, like, ignoring her means that she's going to bust in your door and shoot you in the face?
So let me tell you how I do know that that's not what happens, because you're right, I only played this once, but this game had a ton of interactions. Almost none of them actually affect the story. Most of them are not actually choices at all. The game, and I know this because the game only has 6 endings.
Oh,
how many times can it fucking branch?
Right,
if you only have 6 endings.
Yeah.
Like, real massive, like, games with, like, actual branching paths that start early. Like, okay. For example, for some perspective, Silent Hill 2, not marketed as a choose-your-own-adventure game, not marketed as choice-based, has 8 endings.
Yeah.
Because there is some wiggle room and some choice made. So, like, literally, that game, which is not a choose-your-own-adventure game, has more branching and choice than this game that was the whole gimmick.
Yeah.
So when I tell you the plot overview of this game, up until the final moments, it is the plot that virtually everybody
is seeing.
Because I did, what I did is I went back and I kind of looked at all of the endings. And like, I will tell you the moment that things actually start mattering, and it is startlingly close to the end of the game.
That's hilarious.
There are cosmetic. There are differences in like, oh, you get this little side quest scene instead of this one, but they don't fucking matter. They don't change anything.
Damn.
Like, this can barely, so this can barely be considered a choose your own adventure game, is what I'm saying. Anyway, the next morning, Erica gets a package in the mail with a severed hand holding a medallion, and that medallion...
Is it from the old lady?
Across the hallway? Mm-hmm. It is. It fucking is.
Really?
Yeah, we'll get... You know what? I don't even care that I spoiled where this is going, because fuck you. Yeah, we'll get there. I'll explain how it is. Not an old lady, just a lady. But...
Oh, I thought you said she was old.
I said she was hunched over. I'm like, oh. But, yeah, totally was. But, yeah. A severed hand holding a medallion, and that medallion has the same asterisk shape on it that is carved into her father's dead body.
Oh, no.
You see, Erica's father, before she was born, founded an organization called Delphi House. It is an inpatient facility for women and girls who are experiencing a range of medical maladies, from epilepsy to chronic nosebleeds to psychosis. So the hand that she has gotten in the mail belongs to one of her father's Delphi House co-workers, a man named Johar. She immediately calls the police, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
They tell her, you need to get to Delphi House right now and hide out there for your own protection. Which, thank you for the face you're making, because...
Why would the police know or say that to somebody?
This guy that worked there was killed. Your dad was killed, who founded the place. Safest place on the planet for you to be is the place the killer obviously has a connection to and a problem with. Flawless police work, guys.
I guess maybe that's probably the most realistic part of the game.
It's so... The game. At no point does this game assume that the people playing it have a higher than, like, 102 IQ. At no point. It just... It's so stupid. So, okay. Erica gets to Delphi House, and it's this big castle-looking hotel thing. So Erica goes into the lobby. The cop goes up to the front desk guy. They have to go take care of something to get them out of the room so you're in there alone. Plot. They have to go take care of plot so you can have plot.
Oh, my gosh.
So Erica's in the lobby by herself. The front desk phone starts ringing, and at the exact same moment, a figure in white is seen running across a doorway down the hall. You can only interact with one of these things, so I chose to answer the phone. There's a woman on the other end, and she says she's been waiting so long to talk to Erica. Do you know who it is? Do you know who the woman on the phone is?
Is it the old lady?
Not old, yes.
She's old lady now.
So this woman is like, oh, Erica, I've been waiting so long to talk to you, even though Erica doesn't introduce herself and no one should know she's at Delphi House. And Erica definitely doesn't recognize her
voice. Unless the police are in cahoots with the lady.
Yep. The police are in on it. Let's just keep going.
Why would they provide such specific instructions
like,
otherwise?
Go to the murder castle. Go, child. It's the safest place for you. So the woman tells Erica that she is not, that the woman on the phone, she's the one who found her after her dad's murder. And that her dad is not who she thinks he is. And that Erica needs to follow the music and find out what her dad did to Alladee Carter.
Okay.
Who is that, may you ask? Hopefully we'll find out.
Is it the lady? Is that she related to the lady in any way?
Alladee Carter?
Yeah.
Like
daughter, we'll cousin, something.
We'll get there. You're so close. After the phone call ends,
wife?
Erica.
Are we gay?
We're not gay. Alladee is not related to woman on the phone.
Is it a sister? Is it, what's her face's sister? Is it Erica's sister?
It's not Erica's sister. It's Erica's...
mother?
Yes. Okay. So after the phone call ends, Erica hears a radio playing from a back office. So I literally followed the music, like the scary phone lady told me to. In the back office, there is a roll-top desk, which I fucking love a roll-top desk.
Our desk in our office is a roll-top.
I love.
I had one growing up, and so now I'm obsessed with them.
All I want is a roll-top desk with a typewriter and a rotary phone and a stack of handwritten letters. That's all I want.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I want for my life. So in a roll top desk, and on this desk is a condolence letter for a family whose loved one has passed away at Delphi House. There is a key, and there is a notepad with a message that you can like grab a pencil and like rub to read what was written on the page that was torn on top of it. Gotta rub like this on the touchpad. Super annoying. So the message is a code. So along the code and the key, it gets you into the file room.
Okay.
And in the file room, Erica finds Elodie Carter's file. We learn that Elodie Carter is Erica's mother. I think Erica must have already known that.
Unless her last name's different.
I think it's this. I don't fucking know. Whatever. It's not clear. We didn't know that. Maybe Erica knew that. So anyway, Elodie used to be a nurse at Delphi House, which is how she and Erica's father met.
Okay.
But she got sick and was admitted to Delphi House as a patient. And she eventually died there when Erica was still very young. What killed her? Her file is incredibly vague on that point. Almost suspiciously vague. Erica hears someone coming, so she runs outside before she's caught snooping, sneaks around the building, and comes back in the lobby like nothing happened. Once there, Erica is greeted by a woman who also works at Delphi House and claims to have known Erica when she was a child, even though Erica cannot remember this woman at all. But she also doesn't seem able to remember her mom either, so, like, I wouldn't take it personally if I was the nurse. She shows Erica to the room she will be staying in, the same room that she used to live in when her family lived there. Because her mom was a patient, her dad worked there, she just had a room.
She just lived there. Okay.
Her name is still carved in the dresser of that room. Finding the carving of her name gives Erica a flashback of staying in that room as a child and being given a doll that had the same butterfly birthmark she has on her arm. I guess it was like a... Do you remember those dolls that were like mini-me dolls where you could like...
No.
I had one. It was like you send a picture of your kid and they make a doll that kind of... It was fucking creepy as fuck.
Oh my God, what happened to all those pictures? Did they have a database still?
No, I don't know. Ooh, was this an Epstein front? I don't like it.
I'm not saying it was Epstein. I'm just saying that's really creepy that this company wanted people to send pictures of their children to them.
And people did it. That if you wanted to collect a bunch of pictures of children, and then if you know where the hot ones live because you have the address to send them the fucking doll, we just cracked this case wide open. Holy shit. That is a thing that would, I want to say it wouldn't happen today, but it totally would. People still use pictures of their kids to make weird novelty shit.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
Don't send pictures of your kids to random companies who want to make replicas of them in any way. Don't do that.
So that night, Erica has the same nightmare again where she finds her dad's dead body and the killer points a gun at her.
Okay.
When she wakes up, she hears someone playing a piano downstairs. So I followed the music. It's not ever clear what exactly was meant by follow the music. Anyway, follow the music, like Phone Lady said.
Okay.
The girl playing the piano is a patient at Delphi named Hannah.
Is she still at Delphi or did she go home?
No, she's just at Delphi. She can't go home. Somebody mailed her a hand.
Oh, right.
The cops said live
cops
at Delphi.
Told her she's gotta
You're
live
safe
at Delphi.
Right. So anyway, this girl at the piano was like, hey, sit down. I'll teach you a little duet. Okay, I was gonna save this for the part that made me want to break the controller, but I got to get this out of my system now. Because it is so silly and it's so stupid. Like, it's stupid how much it pissed me off. So you sit down at the piano and Erica's like, I do not know how to play the piano whatsoever. Remember that. She says, I don't know how to do this. And the girl playing it, Hannah, is like, come on, it's super simple. Your part, you just play these four notes over and over again, and that's the whole part of the duet. Fine.
Okay.
So Erica starts playing it, and then Hannah joins and does her thing. But then Erica starts playing something different and more elaborate than the four notes, and it's like, do you know how to play the piano or not, bitch? Like, did you think I wouldn't be able to tell that that's different than the four-note pattern that you were taught? Did you think I'm stupid? It pissed me off so much. Like, way more than it had any right to.
I don't even have a response
to that. I was so mad. But it's fine because the duet was interrupted by Hannah having a massive nosebleed and then coughing up blood all over the piano.
Great.
So it's fine.
Lovely.
Somebody else handles that, I guess, because Erica gets called to the main office.
Like, nope.
Yep. Erica's like, gotta go. So she goes and has a meeting with the guy who is now in charge there, Erica's dad's old business partner, Lucien. Which, if you want to make a character,
that is an evil person's
name.
That's
what the fuck I'm saying. Lucien. Turns out, Erica was not being nearly as stealthy as she thought. She was caught snooping in her mom's file.
Really?
She admits it and apologizes, but is still like, can you please tell me about her? Because my dad never told me anything except for that stupid priestess story about the butterfly and the psychic abilities. That's all I know about my mother. And Lucien is like, sure, hon. He tells Erica that Alodie was admitted to Delphi House while she was pregnant, and that Erica was born right here at Delphi House.
Wow.
He then gives you a gift, your dad's old monogrammed Zippo lighter.
Nice.
Yeah. Gonna light the whole place on fire. Truly. Well, okay, another thing, he hands her the Zippo, which ostensibly has not been used by anyone for years, and she just opens it and turns it on and it lights, which anyone who has a Zippo lighter, if you don't keep that thing topped off with fuel, that shit evaporates. So fast. Like, if you don't fill it or use it for, like, a couple weeks, it's not going to light.
Really?
So I'm calling
that
bull fucking shit.
Well, maybe homeboy was using it.
Maybe. I don't want to give them the benefit of the doubt on that.
They didn't think that far ahead.
Lucien also offers to have Erica undergo hypnosis to help her unlock the secret of who killed her father. Right now, in her nightmares, the killer's face is always just a silhouette.
Mm.
But Lucien thinks hypnosis will allow her to fully see it and therefore catch the killer that's on the loose. So Erica gets hypnotized. And while she's under, she has the same dream as always, except this time her dad opens his eyes and says, it's you, Erica. It's always been you.
Okay.
And when Erica comes to, she sees that she has been drawing her mother's face the whole time she was hypnotized.
Her mother killed him?
No,
is that what they're implying?
Her mother was dead.
Oh, her mother was dead. Right. Okay. So sorry.
I think they are starting to try to plant the seeds of Erica actually being an unreliable narrator within, like, it's you. It's always been you. So we think, like, did she do it? Is she...
Oh,
crazy.
Okay.
They are. Maybe. I think they're trying to make it more of a mystery than they actually have the writing chops to pull off as to what happened here. But they're pretty loudly telegramming, like, what's actually happening. And this is pretty obviously misdirection.
Right.
It's like, have you ever seen Shutter Island?
I have not.
Okay, big twist. I don't want to ruin it because it is my favorite horror
film. I have always wanted to watch it, even though I don't like Leonardo DiCaprio, but whatever.
Just get over it for that. One of the movies. What we'll do for our spooky movie and ice cream night,
I will
pick one and you will pick one. My contribution is Shutter Island.
Oh, I gotta pick one now. Okay, I'll figure it out.
But it is, I love it. But anyway, big twist ending. Those of you who have seen it know what I'm talking about. This game is like if somebody wrote Shutter Island with a crayon. Is what this feels.
You're like, I bet nobody will see this coming.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like that. And yeah. So they're trying to do that. I don't think it's successful. So anyway, this happens and Erica comes to and she's like, you know what I want to do? I want to go visit my mom's grave, which is also on the grounds at Delphi House, because why the fuck wouldn't it be? It's your one-stop shop. They do everything.
Why did she even not live at Delphi House in the first place?
Really, why was she in this shitty apartment for at least 10 years, I would say, the age difference between the flashback at the beginning? Who has been taken care of? Was she by herself? There are no fucking answers as to what happens in that time gap.
That's okay. We don't need that.
No.
Not important.
So while Erica is out at the grave, Hannah, the piano girl, runs into her and is like, hey, I've been picking flowers.
At the grave? Is there more than one grave? Or is it just her mom's grave?
I think there's like a little like monument in a garden.
Okay.
To the
why is this random girl out here?
It's the founder's wife. Like, it's kind of in a like centralized location.
Okay.
Like a little monument to her.
Gotcha.
So Hannah's out there picking flowers, and she's like, "Hey, do you want to come make perfume with me?" And Erica's like, "Yeah."
No,
So
that wasn't one of the choices.
no, so there's you can go make perfume with Hannah. You can go hang out with what the fuck is her name? Toby. There's another like kind of badass rule breaker girl. You could go hang out with her, or you can go hang out with the like super rule follower girl that likes to clean everything, who I wasn't even going to introduce because she's a nothing burger of a character. But
All right.
I just chose to go make perfume with the character that I already knew, because I knew
Gotcha.
this unlocked a cutscene that would go right back to the same branch I was on.
Gotcha.
So I went, made perfume. So Erica and Hannah and the nurse lady that knew me when I was knew Erica and I when she was a kid,
New me.
whatever. I'm fucking this game is taking all my willpower and will to live. So she's also there. They're making perfume together. And while they're making perfume, the nurse tells them about the kind of flower they're using, oleander. Oleander, do
Go
you know
ahead.
about?
I kind of know what oleander is, but continue.
Oleander is a pink flower that smells really good, I guess. And back in the day, it was used by oracles to help induce visions. Right after telling you this, the nurse is like, "Sleep with this open container of oleander water by your bed. It'll give you sweet dreams." And instead of saying, "Oh, you mean the shit that you just told me makes people trip balls?" Erica says, "Oh, cool, bet. Yeah, I'll try that." And she does.
Erica's stupid.
Yes. You don't have the option to not be stupid. That's the thing about this game. Like, there is no smart path. You are dumb, Erica, no matter what. So that night, Erica has a dream where a bunch. You've also touched my toes like four times, and I've just been letting it go, but.
I'm sorry, we are sitting close together and I'm not looking under the table. I can't see your feet.
I'm gonna keep them under my chair. So that. Get out of here! So that night, Erica has a dream where a bunch of people in butterfly masks are doing this ritual, and they're throwing oleander flower petals on an altar that has the asterisk symbol that we've been seeing carved into various dead body parts. Talk about a sweet dream, right? The next morning, Erica wakes up to find that somebody has dropped off a package for her.
Oh
It's wrapped in the same wrapping paper that the doll from the flashback was wrapped in, and inside it is not only her old doll, which last we knew was sitting in her apartment at home, but along with it is a section of human skin with the asterisk tattooed on it.
are they getting these people's body parts?
You'll find out.
It all from the same person?
No.
Okay.
At the sight of this, Hannah, who is with Erica, immediately has a seizure.
All right.
The section of skin with the tattoo is from the arm of Mr. Steinbeck, the night caretaker at Delphi House.
How do they figure this out? Are they testing the
Because
DNA?
it's his tattoo. It was like a. They knew he had this tattoo.
Oh, okay.
Like, they know him. They're like, "Oh, that's like if you saw a section of skin with like my Grand Canyon tattoo, you'd be like, I know one person with that motherfucker."
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
I don't know anyone with that tattoo. You don't have that tattoo.
That's identifying. I'm anonymous. What? I don't. I. What's a tattoo? Fuck. What am I trying to? Okay. So this is where we learn, really late in the game, in my opinion, that the asterisk thing used to be the logo for Delphi House.
Oh, I just assume that's what that was.
They don't say you don't see it. They don't say that. It's like been removed from all the signs, but it
Okay.
used to be the logo.
Okay. What
They don't
a
say
weird thing to have as your logo.
what. So it comes from it. Apparently, it's a specific looking kind of asterisk that comes from the Temple of Apollo in Delphi, Greece.
Oh,
I've
okay.
been calling it an asterisk because I don't know what the fuck to call it. It looks like an asterisk. It's Apollo bullshit. So Delphi House
Okay.
eventually rebranded and went with a different logo, but the old one still means a lot to the folks who have been there a long time. Hence why it was a tattoo, I guess. Listen, I know people that have all kinds of bullshit on their bodies, and I'm like, why?
I'm about to get. We don't have time for this. I'll tell you later.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. We do have time. What are you gonna get?
Oh,
time.
I want to get so while we I was in Pennsylvania, my family was talking about not getting matching tattoos, but all of my siblings getting a tattoo that corresponds to a story that we tell, like part of our family's like lore.
Love it.
And one the biggest thing that I still get made fun of repeatedly is that when I was very young, my mom wanted me to go get her a cigarette out of her cigarette carton. And I tried to pull it out and I broke it. And it upset me because I thought my mom was going to be mad. And so now, as an adult, they're always talking about Paige broke the cigarette. I broke a cigarette and I was upset about it. So they make fun of me for it. Anyway, so I want to get a broken cigarette tattoo
Sick.
because that sounds really cool. And then I've been thinking about maybe getting some like words with it, but now I can't remember. Maybe I was gonna get like the cigarette and said I broke it or something like that. I don't know,
Sorry,
but
Mom.
sorry, Mom. That would be funny. Something like that. Anyway, continue.
So that's the story of the logo. Also, because Erica's doll must have been stolen from her apartment, she tells the police, "You got to go search my apartment because this was there and now it's here with some skin." So Erica, for some fucking reason, goes with the police. It doesn't, she
The
just.
police who were like, "You have to stay at Delphi House to be safe," were like, "Yeah, sure, come with
Come
me to
on, come
check
on
your
with us.
apartment."
So find that her apartment has been completely ransacked. Erica notices that along with the doll, a picture of her mother and her sketchbook have also been stolen. The cop then decides to break into the apartment across the hall for cop reasons.
The one where the not old lady is?
Yes. Like, it isn't really explained why he does it, but thank God he does because in it they find Mr. Steinbeck's dead body, which,
Oh.
honestly, though. Like, again, allow me to be more pissed off than maybe I have a right to be. Shit like this, in my opinion, is such insidious propaganda. And shit like this is everywhere if you look for it. Like, things done against protocol, violation of someone's rights, excessive violence,
Yes,
etc.
oh, but it worked out, so it's
Yes,
okay.
it's fine because the cop's hunch was right and he found the murderer. And who knows if that would have happened otherwise. It just really pisses me off.
Yeah,
Like,
no.
so much media involving the police like seems to have an ulterior motive of making us like okay with cops breaking the rules because that's how bad guys get caught, right?
No.
Do you not want bad
Well, I
guys to get
mean,
caught?
if you're a vigilante, maybe. But police officers are supposed to be,
Exactly.
within the law.
No. You gotta let cops cop. And if children in public parks with toy guns die, or sleeping young women in their own homes die, or people who've been pulled over for failing to use a turn signal die while their young children are in the back seat, that's just the cost of doing business. Because our choices are that or a dystopian reality where criminals roam the streets willy-nilly, right?
I probably not, but
Probably fucking not.
nobody's
Probably
willing to examine
you can
that.
get a fucking warrant.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, where was I? The cop was copping. And by
Bullshit.
that, I mean he violated this neighbor's rights by searching her property without a warrant. But good thing, because not only did they find the body, they found the Delphi symbol all over the place, painted with blood all over the walls of the apartment and carved into the chest of the victim.
Okay. So this lady probably killed her dad.
Seems like something happened. So now the theory is that this neighbor, who we had that brief interaction with at the beginning of the game, and who you pegged immediately as the murderer, is a psycho killer responsible for the deaths of all the Delphi staff, going all the way back to Erica's dad. So the cop takes you back, or sorry, takes Erica back to Delphi House because he still thinks she'll be safe there for some fucking reason. And when you get there, which we know that the killer knows that she's there because they sent the doll to Delphi House.
Right. Like, why would you send her back to a place where another package? She had to leave her apartment because she got a hand delivered there, but she doesn't have to leave Delphi House, even though a doll and skin were.
Might it not be about her safety, actually?
I mean, no, it's not
It's
very
not.
clearly.
When.
Oh, maybe
go
I'll
ahead,
just.
go ahead. No, no,
I
no,
was gonna
please,
say,
please.
was this lady had somebody there, and they died, and so now she's got a grudge against everyone. And
Essentially,
okay,
you've got the broad brushstrokes.
alrighty.
When Erica gets back to Delphi House, she learns that Hannah is about to be taken back for surgery.
Oh, okay.
As part of the preparation process, they have had her take these drugs. Hannah tells Erica that these drugs make her have crazy dreams about women in butterfly masks doing rituals with flower petals on an asterisk altar, the same oleander-induced dream that Erica had.
Wow.
When Hannah woke, because that's how drugs work. If you take a drug, you all have the
You all
same
have the
dream.
same dream.
I, a person who has done drugs, can affirm that. When Hannah woke up from the dream, when Hannah woke up, she was physically holding oleander flower petals, which she remembered grabbing in the dream, like her dream manifested them into reality, or her dream was actually a memory or something. Hannah is taken back for surgery, but Erica stays behind in her room. And while Eric is there, another patient named Toby, the one with the bad attitude, joins you. She
Toby.
is like the bad girl of the asylum. She
Ooh.
smokes and she doesn't share her cigarettes. She always gives everyone an attitude. She's a real see you next Tuesday. So anyway,
Don't break her cigarettes.
don't break her cigarettes, Jesus. So anyway, Toby is like, Hannah's gonna die in surgery. You know that, right? And Erica is like, no, wait, what, huh?
No.
Toby says that she's seen this before. It starts with nosebleeds, then seizures, then death. It's happened to a ton of women at Delphi House, including Erica's mother. Which, that's not that hard of a fucking pattern to figure out. Nosebleed, seizures, death. That's not like a 15-step process. That's like,
Right.
hey, that person bled a lot, and then the next day they had a seizure, and then the next day they died. And it's all happening here. The fact that Toby seems to be the only person to have put it together is like, this is like a three number, this is again
Right.
written with a crayon.
Yeah. Like, this seems like a pretty simple pattern.
Yeah. And we're supposed to be like, egads.
Oh, no.
Toby then discloses that she too has had the same dream about the ritual, which means that they must be dosing her somehow too. The
That's
drugs
not
give you the
how
same.
drugs work.
I guess the other option is that they are high and they're doing the ritual and don't realize it. And again, it's not clear. It's not actually clear what the fuck is
Huh.
happening.
Like they're there doing the ritual
And they
and they
think it's
don't
a
realize
dream.
it, but they think it's a dream.
I think that might be a thing because, like,
Okay.
she has the flower petals and they're all like having the same
Oh, okay.
exact.
Like
But they are all talking as if like, oh, we all had these crazy dreams. Weird. And like none of them has figured out like it must not have been
It couldn't have been
a
a dream
dream.
then.
So after all this, the cop shows back up and is like, hey, we figured out who your neighbor is. Her name is Mia. She was a patient at Delphi House, was very close to Alladee, Erica's mother. As a child, Mia was prone to violence, and on the night Alladee died, Mia broke into the pharmacy at Delphi and intentionally overdosed and died.
The neighbor lady died?
Listen, don't look at me like that. Erica is like,
Obviously fucking not.
yeah, exactly. That's what Erica says. She's like, wait, what? The pictures you're showing me of this Mia woman are definitely of my neighbor, and my de the neighbor was definitely alive last time I saw
Yeah, I
her.
saw her hunched over and groaning, but did you see her? Did you see her
Exactly.
face?
Well, yes, she did. They're just doing the fucking stupid, crazy misdirect.
Oh, okay.
So the cops are like, okay, we have a warrant to exhume her body to make sure she actually died and didn't just fake her own death, which is a plot point that doesn't go anywhere. I'll just tell you that right now. They never circle back to that. No.
The lady being dead or the
The
exhuming the
exhuming the
body.
body and like actually figuring out if she's dead. Never come back around to it.
That seems important to the lady being alive or dead to kill the dad and all these people now who she is killing. Seems important. Okay.
So, in the middle of this conversation, a call comes in that there is an intruder at Delphi House.
Intruder alert.
And then right after that, Erica's nose starts to bleed.
Oh
The first step of the three-step
Oh
pattern.
no, she's gonna die.
Erica is left in the care of another Delphi House staffer while the cops go check on this intruder situation. Erica briefly steps away to, like, wash her face from the nosebleed. I don't remember the staff member's name, but he had a thick Scottish accent, which I always love.
Nice.
But anyway, he gets murdered and carved up with the symbol in the 15 fucking seconds Erica is in the bathroom.
What the hell?
On the staff member's desk is a picture of him on a picnic with yet another woman who is now a patient at Delphi House. While Erica is looking at that picture, Mia, the killer, sneaks up and confronts Erica, telling her that all of the male staff at Delphi House were involved in some horrible shit together.
The dead, not dead woman whose body they went to exhume shows up at the hospital.
I literally think all of this misdirection and bullshit is trying to set up, like, Erica's crazy and Erica is doing all of it.
Interesting.
Fails to stick the landing, though. So, Mia is like, listen, I'm here to kill these men. I would never hurt you, Erica. In fact, all this time, Mia has been trying to protect Erica. Erica's like, no, you killed my dad. And Mia is like, yeah, and? He was a bad dude, and I killed him to protect you. Mia tells Erica that her dad was a monster that intentionally made her mother sick and locked her away and planned to do the same thing to Erica.
Huh.
Mia then explains that the medallion that she mailed you, along with the severed hand, is a key to a series of tunnels beneath Delphi House, which, listeners at home.
The severed hand is also part of the key?
No. Just That's what I'm saying. Listeners, if you're going to send me something important in the mail that you need me to, like, hold on to, don't send it with a fucking severed hand. Send it with, like, instructions. Because if you send it with a bloody severed hand, I'm throwing away the whole thing. I'm not keeping.
Hey, I have this key.
The medallion.
For you.
Which
it's because you need to go investigate this thing because all these people are doing bad things. Please help me save all these women. You would be a hero. Yes. Oh, okay. I'll do that. Yes.
This medallion is a key. Line one. This looks like a necklace. It's actually a key. I would need to be told that. I wouldn't see a necklace thing and be like, I bet if I shove it in a wall, a secret door will open.
Right. You need to put it in this very specific slot and then do this thing to open the door.
Yeah.
No instructions.
Even if there is a note, if you send it with a severed hand, I'm going to be too distracted to read the note. So just don't send me a severed hand.
Yes. Medallion and nope, no severed hand.
No severed hand. Luckily, Erica still has access to the medallion for some reason. Like, it wasn't taken.
It wasn't taken.
For some fucking reason.
Because the cops.
Does she still have the hand? I don't know.
She's just got the hand and the medallion. Mm-hmm. She was like, actually, I think I'll hold on to this.
She made a wet specimen out of the hand.
Might be important. Maybe she stared into some fire.
So Mia tells Erica.
Oh, so is that going to become relevant
It will come back at, like, the very end.
Okay. I was like, this feels, like, fully irrelevant.
She
to
has
story.
A, they give her a lighter. They give her a little fire thing that she could use at any time. And then it just doesn't fucking come back up.
Good God.
All
right.
Mia tells Erica, hey, open up these tunnels, go explore, and then come find me. Later on in the night at this farm that's on the adjacent property. So Erica opens a secret door. Yeah. Toes. Erica opens a secret door in her room and finds tunnels and caves that exactly match what she's been seeing in her dreams. While down there, you overhear the cop talking to Lucien and you learn that they have been conspiring together against you. And that they are looking for you now, not for your safety, but to keep you from learning something. But this is as much as you learn before thinking that they've heard you, so you book it out of there and go find Mia in the barn next door. Mia has filled this wooden barn covered in hay with candles and oleander petals and tons of bottles of perfume. Mia sprays you in the face and you immediately brush the sky. You're so high. And while you're high, Mia decides it's a good time to explain to you what's really going on at Delphi House. Because you have to be an unreliable narrator. She can't just tell you a thing. She has to get you fucking high off your tits first so that we have questions as viewers. Okay. Doesn't make any...
I'm about to tell you something really important that's going to change your entire reality. Yeah. Let's get you fucked up first.
Yeah.
Which may be fair.
Not in this case.
Not in this case, but maybe sometimes could be fair.
So Mia tells Erica that Delphi House doses four women at a time and uses their synchronized visions to divine the future for personal gain.
So it isn't. They're not doing rituals. They are having visions. The same visions.
Friend, listen. I'm doing the best I can to get the fuck through this.
I'm so sorry.
Of these four women, three of them can just be normies with no psychic ability outside of the drug-induced ones. But one of them must be a natural-born psychic. That is why Erica is at Delphi House right now. That's why she was not safe in the care of her father. That's why her father married her mother in the first place. For her and your natural psychic talent.
Alrighty.
Trouble is, this oleander concoction makes you very sick over time. First nosebleeds, then seizures, then death. Then Mia tells
drugs. Because drugs.
Then Mia tells Erica why she's here, not just to protect her, but to set her mother's spirit free. I'm sorry. This is where the game, like, fully jumped the shark for me.
Like, what are you talking
Like, a game
about?
That was already so stupid, just like...
Like, we didn't need to add this in.
So, apparently, once Delphi House has a spirit tamed like that, it doesn't give them up. Not even for the afterlife. Because it can still milk them for psychic juice for a while, so... But apparently, Eric is, like, Alady's spirit battery is running low now because, like, now they have to, like, get Erica to replace her. They made it a few years, but now they need Erica to be the next butterfly, to be the next psychic. I know you're looking at me like it's dumb, and that's because it is. I'm not, like, this just is dumb.
Okay.
So Erica can help Mia free her mother's soul and finally put her to rest.
Okay.
This whole next section was full of choices that were not actually choices. For example, you happen upon a guard and Mia tells Erica, hey, kill that guard. And my Erica refused to do it. So then Mia just kills the guard. Like, oh. Sparing the guard is not an option. It's just a choice of if you do it or if Mia does it. And that choice doesn't actually affect anything. Not a goddamn thing. You get most of the way to the tunnel entrance when Mia says that she's feeling really sick and needs to stop and take a breather. I should also mention again, I need you to understand that the Mia is dead thing is never resolved. Like, you are never told one way or another if it was a lie that Delphi House was telling or if she was dead and the Mia I was interacting with was like a psychic battery like her mother was. Just with more juice in it because she managed to escape Delphi House, or if she faked her death, like, no resolution. All right. None at all. I guess it could have been resolved, like, on a different path, and I just missed it, but, like, I don't fucking care. I'm not playing this game again.
That just seems like a really important thing to not leave to just, well, I guess if you make these choices, you'll find out. Like, that just seems like an important detail. Like, you're going to tell me that this lady is dead.
There are six
and then never
endings.
Bring it up again.
It doesn't branch that many times. It's just right. Tell me. They're not going to. I don't know if it tells them. I don't know. They might have just forgotten about that. I don't know if it shows up in any of the paths.
They just forgot to wrap it up. That wouldn't shock me.
It is that. Remember how I told you when I would tell you when the first choice with actual consequences happened?
Oh, okay. Is it now?
At this point, with Mia being too sick to continue, we are given the first choice with any real story consequences.
Alrighty.
Will you take Mia's gun or not?
I don't know. Did you take it?
I chose it. I at least have it. Yeah. Why am I going to leave the gun with her?
I don't know.
She's giving it to me. Here, I'll take the gun. Good thing I did, because not taking the gun basically locks you into a bad ending where you wind up trapped in the asylum as a drooling vegetable forever. I'm glad I took the gun.
Okay. Yeah, take the gun, I guess. Yeah, for sure.
So anyway, gun in hand, Erica goes back underground and sees that lady nurse giving Toby a treatment. I forced the nurse to stop the treatment at gunpoint. So you set Toby free before she is...
Be free, Toby.
Mm-hmm, before she is too Oleander sick as well. Then Erica finally confronts Lucien. And he tries this like, Erica, you're very sick and crazy. And you've been sick and crazy this whole time.
Sick and crazy.
There is no Mia. You are the one who's been killing these people, and now you're a patient here.
Okay.
So then the player has a choice. Do you believe him and put the gun down, or do you kill him and free your mother's spirit? Which, like, okay. On the one hand, if they were trying, really trying to set up the unreliable narrator thing, it was way too little, like,
mm-hmm,
way too late, but also simultaneously way too on the nose. Like, it was just, I love a story.
Yeah, with an unreliable narrator.
Not fucking this one. It was just the most poorly, I can't even exactly put my finger on what's wrong with it, but it is just so ham-fisted and stupid and not well done. I can't stress enough. Like, they somehow managed to write a story where the flower-induced psychic power magic is more believable than Erica just being crazy. Which, at least, like, that wasn't actually the twist. It's just misdirection. But still, like, good unreliable narrator stories are ambiguous till, like,
the very end.
Or if it's ever.
Yeah. Not at all.
And then if it is revealed, the twist wallops you when it happens. But when you think back, the breadcrumbs have been there.
Yes.
The whole time. This was not that. No. This was a weird attempt at a fake twist in the 11th hour, and it added nothing to a story that already had nothing going for it. So anyway, I killed Lucien.
Good.
I went into this room that was filled with oleander petals. And Erica uses her dad's lighter to burn Delphi House down, starting with the oleander perfume petals.
Okay.
And you and everyone good and no one bad escapes and lives happily ever after.
No one bad.
If we can trust that, because I feel like setting a room full of a hallucinogen on fire with you right in it would make you see things that aren't happening. But what do I know? And I definitely did not.
Why didn't it force her to have a vision? Did she not look into the flames? Can she control them?
There was literally starts a fire, gets out of there, is running gleefully into the night. And there's happy on-screen text that's like, you did it. You freed your mother's soul and everyone at Delphi House.
That's hilarious.
And I didn't give enough of a shit to like fight it at that point. I'm like, game's done. Great.
Cool. Thank God.
Favorite moment. I have been racking my brain trying to think of a favorite moment, and I, like, genuinely, I have nothing. I did not care about this game. Nothing and no one grabbed my interest. Like, gun to my head, I guess I would say the moment they first got in Mia's apartment, because it was, like, it was a serial killer apartment. There was, like, flypaper and writing on the walls and a dead body, yeah. But, like, just about nothing to love here. Character I had a crush on.
Is it Toby?
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, even though I think this game is garbage, I like Toby's character because she's got that hot bad girl thing going on.
Hell yeah.
She didn't have a leather jacket because everybody's wearing hospital gowns, yeah. But, like, she would. She would have. She owns one at home.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Toby was, like, the one patient there that didn't comply and gave the staff endless shit and saw through their bullshit. She was the only one that had more than one brain cell to rub together.
Did Hannah survive? Did the child survive?
They literally don't answer if Hannah makes it out of surgery or not. There are so... Maybe on another path we get to see Hannah again, but, like...
You can't just... Even in Choose Your Own Adventure, you can't just leave things like that.
There are so many loose ends. That's the thing. Most Choose Your Own Adventure games, they get tied up differently.
Yeah.
They don't just get abandoned because you didn't make the right choice.
Forget about that. You didn't even know about that one.
Yeah. She was the only one that saw the pattern of, like, girls get sick and die in very specific and not random ways here. She was relatively smart and a bitch, and that's very hot to me. So,
yeah.
Team Toby.
Hell yeah.
Overall, this game was complete shit. The controls sucked.
Obviously.
And were unnecessarily hard. Like, I get they were trying to do a gimmicky thing with using a smartphone as a controller. Don't fucking do that. Gimmicks aren't good.
Right.
Just use the controller that's actually made for video games.
Right.
And then the story was also shit.
Mm-hmm.
The acting was fine.
Okay.
I really do like the, like, live-action video game thing. It can be really immersive and unnerving when it's done right, but this was absolutely not done right. Given all of these factors, I give this game a 4, and I feel like I'm being generous. Wow. 4 out of 10, not out of 5. 4 out of 10.
No, I know. I was expecting lower.
I'm being, like, I think to get lower than a 4, it actually has to, like, not function.
Gotcha.
I think it's a game that, like, glitches so hard it can't be played.
Gotcha.
I think would be
okay.
How you get lower than a 4. Yeah, so you can find us on Instagram and Patreon at mm-hmm. Page and Pixel PC. Special thank you to our patrons. We got Bonego, who has a moderate PP, and then we have John Red Robin Milf Hunter 69, who has one enormous PP. They make this show possible. And if you want to be a Patreon with a big peepee and get a shout out at the end of our episodes, throw us a few dollars, okay? But for now,
read hard,
play hard,
and fuck Oleander.